Safe as Houses, podcast number 25. Story so far, Sally Yan was fighting for the life of her vampire beloved Lavinia, and her own life too, and it sure looked like she was going to lose. The throng of vampires in the State Beach parking lot was dragging her down, and then Lavinia's husky voice called to the vampires, "You're welcome in my home. Go!" And the next instant, the vampires abandoned the fight and thronged into the camper van that Sally and Lavinia call home, with rhapsodic cries of, "Look, a bed! Cabinets!" And this is Safe as Houses, Volume 2, Chapter 12, Home. A stunned Sally pushed herself to her knees and looked down at her wounded beloved. "I got it at last," Lavinia said weakly, smiling. "I knew they couldn't resist being inside a home again, even one like ours." From inside the van came the sounds of the vampires bickering like children over who got the bed. Sally started giggling, and Lavinia joined her. The next minute they were laughing hysterically. "Your poor neck!" Sally shrieked around gales of laughter. Don't give a fuck!" Lavinia gasped, even though it clearly hurt her to laugh. "What's losing blood? Lost a whole body's worth last night. This is nothing!" In the dim light, as her laughing fit died down, her eyes were as soft as melted candy. "And I got you, Tiger. Better than a fuckload of blood. You're a good influence on me after all, kid." From inside the van came a slightly whiny, "No pushing!" And the women collapsed into laughter again. Sally crawled giddily on top of Lavinia, wiped the vampire gunk off of her own mouth, and kissed her. "Is this okay?" she asked, her lips dancing over her lover's as she spoke. "Should I be doing anything to stop the bleeding? Clue me in, my queen." "No, I think we got it established I'm still a vampire. I'll live no matter how much I lose. Well, live, shmiv, you know what I mean." The giddy mood had not left Lavinia either. "Somehow the sun blooded me up? Jesus fuck, it's so confusing. Would it gross you out to scoop up some of the blood I lost and feed it back to me?" "No." It was true. Sally found that she trusted Lavinia enough to do anything she needed. The neck wound wasn't bleeding anymore. So with the heel of her hand, she scooped up some of the puddled blood and offered it to Lavinia's mouth. Like a puppy, Lavinia lapped it up, and Sally found herself nauseated after all. "Can you sit up, honey?" Sally said gently, wishing she could wipe the garish bloodstains from around Lavinia's mouth. "Can you walk? We should probably get away from here before the slumber party in there decides eating would be nicer after all." Lavinia sat up spryly. She looked pale and drawn, like when she first woke as a vampire, moving by dark magic and not by life. But she was herself, and her face showed hope. Even more, pale as she was, she glowed with love, as to Sally's relief she wiped her mouth on her sleeve, and then looked down at it and made a face. "I am going to marry you," Sally declared. "Oh, baby, I've got that good and strong. It's why I'm still here. No shadow of a doubt." Sally thought about that. Maybe Lavinia was still Lavinia because of her love. "No," she thought with a smile, "even my ego can't accept that." But in the meantime, they were outside with no protection, and neither their clasped hands, nor the sweet white rush of the ocean waters, nor the sky with bright stars and mist changed that. "We'd better get going," she said reluctantly. "We're not running," Lavinia declared, standing up cold and bright in the moonlight. Her skin was like the body of the moon itself, not of this world. "Come on," she declared. "I know how to deal." She glided back toward the camper. "No, baby," Sally called after her as she herself stood. "We're not in the bedroom. Don't pull this stuff. Tell me." Besides her annoyance at being bossed around outside of the bedroom, she was spooked by Lavinia's very undead glide. "I trust, then I doubt. Then I trust, then I doubt," she sighed. "We humans never achieve anything permanent." Sally was gratified as Lavinia spun, came back, and apologized immediately. "Sorry, Tiger. What I got now is, given a choice between home and food, they'll choose home again. So come on, let's go take back our home. I'll give 'em a choice. They stay if they behave. Any one of 'em makes a move to hurt you, he's out." Sally looked confused. "Can you do that? Once they're in, can't they stay in? And can you selectively invite them in, you and not you? How sure are you?"
"Pretty sure, actually. I look at my inner works and what I got to respond to, and you saw you did rescind the invitation and they went."
"Well, then let's rescind the damn invitation, drive 'em all out and drive away."
"Can't, I don't think. You saw, again, when I was in there, you saw them start to ooze in. You got one vampire in there, you open the door to all of them. The only way to drive 'em all out is if I go with them."
Sally stopped in the moonlight. The sound of the waves was suddenly hollow in her ears. "But love, that means we can never live together. Any home we create together is automatically open to vampires, too."
"Right, so we gotta deal with this now.
You willing to be with me on this?" Reluctantly, Sally nodded. She shivered as they walked toward the green camper, stepping over the dead vampire whose throat she could barely believe she had torn out. How could she and Lavinia really live together? For that matter, could they even really get married? Same-sex marriage was legal, but where would they find someone willing to marry a vampire to a human? Even if they could, they couldn't do it in the daytime because Lavinia would be paralyzed, and they couldn't do it at nighttime because nothing was open at night anymore. Her heart sank. 5 minutes ago she'd had this all worked out. Now it was more confused than ever. "This is what life is like," she thought again. "Endings like in Anna Karenina, where Levin ties up every little bit of his philosophy in one neat package which is going to serve him for the rest of his life, those aren't real. Probably 5 minutes after the book ended, he burned his toast or cut a really ripe fart and was all confused again." She did, though, have the pleasing thought as they reached the camper, "Damn, I'm wise for 27. Wonder what I'll be like when I'm 52. Lavinia yanked open the door, which the last vampire inn had apparently closed. No snarls greeted them. Two vampires were on their knees looking over the seat into the crowded living space. The women could see hints of packed and milling bodies back there. Sally felt her gorge rise at the sight of all those evil forms filling their home. One of the kneeling vampires said, without looking around, "Want to shut that door, man? You're letting in the cold." Sally's jaw dropped open. He sounded like any annoyed human. She pushed her head in to see what the other vampires were doing. What she saw in that instant forever changed her feelings about vampires. This story is copyright 2014 by me, Michael Litsky. You can find the print version of this story, information about the music in the background, and much more on my website, www.fictionandmore.com. Next week will be Chapter 13, what Sally saw. See you then.